You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for takeaways with me, Heidi Fang. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, and we're brought to you by Favor, drinkoffavor.com. I have a great one lined up for you today, and I'm going to call this the alumni edition because I had a great conversation with former Raiders linebacker Jerry Robinson, and I was also able to catch up with Hall of Famer Tim Brown, former Raiders wide receiver. He was on a conference call this week, so I don't want to waste another second talking about it. Let's just get right into it. And here we go with Jerry Robinson talking about the Las Vegas Raiders.
You're talking about the Las Vegas Raiders, Allegiant Stadium, you know, one of the wonders of the world. What a beautiful place. And then, you know, the headquarters in Henderson. Oh, my God. What? 335,000 square feet. I'm like, these young brothers right here, they just don't know how really good they have it. I mean, you're talking about wanting to go to work? Oh, man, I'd want to go to work, you know, and never go home because it's such a beautiful thing. So I'm excited. You know, the Las Vegas Raiders, yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about that because, okay. Like you said, a lot of guys, they don't know what you went through with your experiences, and you were part of the Los Angeles teams there over at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. And what was that experience like versus what you see now with this state of the art stuff?
You know what? Well, I went to UCLA, so I played in the LA Coliseum for 4 years, and then I left, met the Eagles for 6 years, and came back home. I was back there where I played football in college. It was great to be home. You know, the history behind the historical Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. Everybody knows you had Olympics there. You had this, you had that. USC played there in the UCLA played there also. But, you know, it didn't take long to realize how old that stadium was. You know, there was an emotional tie for me because of that's where it all started for me, basically with playing linebacker for UCLA. But, you know, when you're in the, you know, game's over and you headed to the showers, and if not all the showers work at the same time, and people standing in line, and I would hear some of my friends that came to the visiting locker room, they're like, oh man, this is crazy, man. Here we are standing there waiting to get in line because this shower head wasn't working. And then when we get there, you got to cup your hands for a couple of them so you can get enough water in your hands so you can dash on your face. There was a lot of things that were going on with that LA Coliseum. And, you know, when I played for the LA Raiders, you know, we didn't, you know, it wasn't really our stadium. I mean, it was, you know, we played there, and so did USC. You know, they also played there too. And now the Las Vegas Raiders, the Davis family, Mark, his mom, they have their own stadium now. That means a lot to me to know that that's what Al wanted, mm-hmm. You know, and it's there now. And the beautiful Al Davis torch, you know, that I've seen things from social media and Davis Way. And so these young guys now, they have their own home. It's their own home, you know. And then you get to go to headquarters. When I played for the Los Angeles Raiders, we were in El Segundo, a little elementary school that Al took over, okay. We're sitting there. Talk about breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay, we're sitting in the meetings at 8 o'clock. And we'd hear that food truck hit that horn. And they'd turn off the projector. We'd go outside and get our lunch or get our breakfast. And they did it at same thing at lunchtime. Nowadays, you know, these gentlemen, these young athletes, the facilities now, they have breakfast, lunch, and dinner if that's what they would like. They have their own cafeteria. And one of the big differences between the kids nowadays, as I call them, young men nowadays, than was back in the day when I played, they have personalized things that are made for them, food for them. You know, you get a blood test, and then, you know, they run a blood test on you, see what your deficiency is, and so guess what they do? You have your own combination of things that you have that they make for you to make sure that you're performing at the highest level. So that, and, you know, and here's another thing. It's exciting because they're in a brand new facility. They're in a brand new city. The people of Las Vegas have been waiting for the Raiders to get there. Well, guess what? They ain't got to wait no more. they are there. And the trips that I've made, you know, doing appearances, you know, for the Raiders into Las Vegas, is that it's overwhelming. It's just so the excitement and the anticipation of them coming there. I've experienced that, so I can imagine what it's like now. And here's the other thing, Heidi, people need to know that the Raiders have always been involved with the community. They love their fans. They appreciate their fans. But, you know, ever since they made the announcement that they were going to be in Las Vegas, we've had alumni that are there, and those that are up here in Northern California, we've flown in there to do appearances and just get connected with the community, because it's their team now. It is the Las Vegas Raiders. And they've done a lot of great things anywhere, everywhere they've been. And this whole thing in Las Vegas is really, really exciting.
So, Jerry, I wanted to get your take right now on the linebacker core that the Raiders have in place right now. What you've seen from the past couple years now that Gruden's been back in the second run here with the Raiders, and what you expect now. They have Rod Marinelli on the D-line. They've got a lot of talent here in the linebacker core. They brought in Corey Littleton, who's just really, I think, going to be a kickstarter to that defense, and Nick Kwiatkowski. Let's talk a little bit about what you think these current linebackers are going to bring to them.
Well, you know what, Heidi? You actually did a great job. I mean, what you just said is exactly what I would say. I mean, I'm excited about the addition. And Rod Marinelli, you're talking about a legend here. You're talking about the man knows what he's doing. You know what the deal is? When you're playing the game, it's the coach's job to put you in the best position that you can be in to be successful in a play, okay? And that's what Marinelli does, okay? It's up to you as a ball player, as an individual, to make sure you execute it. And it's a great feeling. This was for me, and I'm sure it's for everybody else that ever played the game, when you know that defense that is called, that's the right defense. But just in case it's not, we have an audible, we have a checkoff, you know, we have an adjustment that we can make to this. So we are going to always be put in a position to come out on top. Now it's up to the individual to make sure that, you know, he gets there through hustle and he has the proper technique, or you take care of your responsibilities. There's a lot of other little things that mentally go into that. And, you know, with the, you know, this offseason, you know, with Littleton and I'm just going to call him Nick K, you know, and some other people. I'm excited to watch our defense. I'm excited to watch our whole football team, because we got something going on the offensive side that's just going to get even better. But defensively speaking, you know, it's an attitude. It's about the attitude that you have playing defense, you know. And I did play offense in high school and that kind of stuff. But I do know you have to have the right mentality and the right attitude when you're playing defense. And these guys right now on the Las Vegas Raiders defense, they should be extremely excited, because they will all be in sync. They'll be playing like a symphony, an orchestra. They'll be doing everything together. And as long as they take care of what they have to do, it's going to be really exciting to watch their defense run around, fly around, and hit people.
Running and flying. That's something you know well in various positions, as you just touched on there, that you played. You were a wide receiver back when you started out. Yeah, and also nose tackle, I think I had read. So,
ooh, get him, Heidi.
I know. I do my research. I check
you
things
sure
out.
Did.
But, you know, when you first started out and then you converted, I believe it was Jed Hughes that was attributed to saying something like, I'm going to make you the inside linebacker. You're going to be the play caller now. And this role is going to be important, because I think it was quoted as saying, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of people think black players are not smart enough to be the play caller on the inside. And you said that lit a fire under you as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and how that just made you like feel on the inside?
Way to go, Heidi. Way to go, honey. Great job. You know what? Yes, because when I moved from wide receiver tight end at UCLA and became the inside linebacker, my coach, Jed Hughes, Dr. Jed Hughes, you know, he asked me if I wanted to call a signal. I'm like, I didn't know. I had no idea. I never played that position before. He said, well, you know, usually the inside linebacker calls the defensive signals because he has to make all the adjustments. And I'm like, okay. He said, well, And as you said, you did say that, you know, there's this, a lot of people don't feel that the black ball player is smart enough to handle that position. That's why there's not many black quarterbacks. Remember going back into the 70s now, mm-hmm. when I'm talking about. And in that position, to have the intelligent enough to make sure that everybody's in the right position. And when he told me that they didn't think black ball players were smart to play inside linebacker, that's when I buckled down, and it infuriated me. It pissed me off. And I had a point to prove that I could do it. Now, remember this. I've never played linebacker before in my life.
Right.
Never, you know. And I was able, with his help, to learn the position, to be able to call the defenses. And I took a great deal of pride in knowing that I am responsible for making sure everybody's in the right position. I have to look and see if somebody's out of place, the defensive line. I'd have to walk up there, slap them on their butt, or scream at them, or whatever it was. And that right there, I accepted that responsibility. Even though me making sure that somebody is, if they're out of position, I had to go leave my position to put them in their position. And sometimes the ball would get snapped, you know. Mm-hmm. But before I got back to my position, but that's okay. I found a way to get to the tackle most of the time. But
most of the time, yeah, I think that's just kind of an understatement of your career. We've got to take a quick break, and we will be right back. So stay tuned for more here with Jerry Robinson. They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com. What do you think on the offensive side of the ball for the Raiders? You were talking about these guys flying down the field on defense, and Henry Ruggs. What do you make of that pickup for the Raiders?
I got so excited about that because it just reminded me of back in the day when I was a little kid watching the Oakland Raiders back in the 70s, watching Cliff Branch just – world-class sprinter, just speed, because speed kills. And speed was always important to Al. It was important to Mark, too. And to get the right type of speed and the right person with the right attitude, with that winning attitude. And I'm excited about our offense. I'm excited about our whole team, you know. We have people in position this year. We're another year in, you know. And the more years you get in, you know, the more familiar you become with the offense or defense. And, you know, it really makes a really big difference because it takes less time to go through the mental adjustments and, you know, and it's easier. Once you become familiar with your offensive scheme and defensive scheme, it makes it that much easier. But you know what? There's a lot of excitement. The words Las Vegas Raiders, Las Vegas itself generates adrenaline. And these young guys are coming to they are part of the Las Vegas Raiders. They're part of a new state-of-the-art Allegiant Stadium. They're part of the new headquarters. All I know, it's a big bad sucker sitting out there. I mean, you know what? People flying in, they're going to be like, damn, you can't miss it flying in. You cannot miss it. And I think that's the way it was always meant to be. So that in itself, all of this new stuff, and with John Gruden and Mike Mayock. I mean, I love that combination right there. You talk about two of the hardest working men in the business. They used to say back in the day that James Brown was the hardest working man in show business. Well, John Gruden and Mike Mayock are the hardest working dudes in professional football. And they're on the same page, and they have a game plan. And sometimes what happens is, you know, people may not like your game plan. Your fans may not like it because the results may not produce right away. But there's a reason that the steps have been taken, you know, the ones that have been taken. That's why they are the way that they are. And the Raiders are just getting better, and they're getting better. And like I said, Las Vegas, you talk about an adrenaline rush. Oh, my God. I can't wait for these young players to experience the fandom and excitement of first of all, Raider Nation is already in Las Vegas, and they come from all over the world, from London, from Canada, from New York. And that excitement in a brand new stadium that they can call their own is going to go a long way.
I had read that, you know, you had these very humble beginnings, Santa Rosa. There were times where you didn't have shoes, and it led you to become a part of the board of the directors for Shoes for Kids. Can you tell me about
that?
Yes,
I've just been promoted to I was the vice president of Shoes for Kids. Now I am the president of Shoes for Kids. And my co-host for the podcast that I do, the podcast is called People Doing Good Podcast. Mariah Volk is the co-host. And she is the founder of Shoes for Kids. And one day I was sitting there, I went to a fundraiser, and I was watching this video of this kid up there with like duct tape or electrical tape on his shoe. And it just reminded me of me back in the day, you know, not that we didn't have shoes, but the shoes, the tennis shoes that we got, we had to keep those tennis shoes all year long, which means that you get in the beginning of school year, okay, you want to play basketball? You're going to play basketball in those shoes, those tennis shoes. Plus, you're going to have to wear those shoes after basketball season. And it was a lot of wear and tear on it. And I just remember what it was like as a child for me to get a new pair of shoes. And Shoes for Kids is all about, you know, providing new pair of shoes, or, you know, shoes for kids that don't have them, and they come from either low-income families or single moms or single families, parents, whatever that may be. And that's why I got involved, because, you know, the kids are, you know, they are our future here. And it just touches my heart to see a smile on the kid's face. And like I said, my podcast, People Doing Good, is another thing where Mariah and I decided to just bring positivity, you know, to people, to listeners, because, you know, for the last several years, there's been a lot of negativity, a lot of negative things. And now with the, you know, the COVID-19 and with the situation with the justice system, put it that way, and police brutality, and, you know, George Floyd, and that whole thing right there, is people need to hear good things, but they need to hear real things, you know. And so we've had an opportunity, especially, you know, this month we dedicated it to Black Lives Matter, and I'm on there, you know, a couple of episodes on there where I've actually opened up and shared my experiences growing up as a little kid, you know, the racism and the hatred that I experienced, you know, trucks trying to run me off the road, me and my brother and some friends, and we're running through a field, and the only thing I remember thinking about is I was listening for a gunshot. You know, I didn't know if we were going to die or not. And this truck full of people with a gun rack and a Confederate flag in the back, that kind of stuff right there, you know. And, you know, so anyway, People Doing Good Podcast, you're going to hear some interesting stories. And I had a chance to open up and just share things that have happened to me, because it's happened to a lot of people of color, you know. And, you know, and the thing of it is, now the difference between the 60s and 2020 is everything's been videotaped. Mm-hmm. We are people, and the world is seeing what has been happening for years, and they're not putting up with it. I call it that younger generation, that social media generation. And, you know, I love it when you see, you know, people of all colors standing together for the injustices that are done, you know, the blatant murdering of certain, you know, of Black people. And I love it. I mean, there's white people out there, there's Asian people out there, there's Native Americans, there's Hispanic people out there, and they are making a difference, because also the platforms that these athletes nowadays and the entertainers, they're using their platform to make a change, and they're realizing that, you know what, the only way we're going to make a change, we can talk all we want. Back in the 60s, people did a lot of talking, you know, and then a lot of people got hurt and abused. But now they're realizing, not only are we going to talk, we are talking about changing legislation. We're trying to change rules and it's, you know, laws and stuff. So a lot of them are talking about just get out there and vote. If you don't like what's going on, and you can't like what's going on in this world, you know, we have some horrible things happening. We have COVID-19 going on, and it's like, until there's a vaccine, ain't nothing going to be safe. So anyway, you know, those that are listening out there, get on out there and vote. You know what, you know, if you're old enough to vote, go on out there and make a difference. Make your vote count. You know, if you don't like what you see, you know what, get somebody in there, whatever branch of politics, whatever it may be, get out there and make a difference. And I appreciate those that are standing up and are willing to go through, stand hand in hand, side by side, shoulder by shoulder, and peacefully march and protest, you know, to get their point across. But there's always some knuckleheads coming in somewhere doing something crazy. You know, you got some looting and you got some burning and you got this and that. And it's not those people that are peacefully marching. There's people that mindset is already, okay, this is my opinion here. You know, well, we got a march going in. Let's go steal some. There's a group of people that are still sick out there. And that's not the ones that are protesting what's happening in this world and in this society right now.
Tyrell Williams, Zay Jones, Trent Brown. These are just a few of the Raiders off the top of my head that have already been using their platforms and speaking out. The Raiders themselves have gone and declared Juneteenth an official holiday. How does that make you feel inside being an alumni of this organization that they've gone to do that?
That doesn't surprise me at all. It brings great pride and it makes my heart feel good. But you know what? I know what it's like to be a Raider. I know what it means deep down inside. You just go back and start checking out what Al was doing back in the day. You know what? Al didn't put up with that crap. He did not put up with that crap.
Art show.
And, oh yeah,
like that's the first. I mean.
Well, we can even go. You know, go back and go to Coach Flores. I mean, he. You know, the Raiders are about that. You know, they don't see color. Well, they do see color, silver and black. That's what they see. You know, and that's the way it should be. You know, they treat people the way they should be treated. But I'm glad you mentioned some of the players' names that are getting involved and, you know, from all different sports, all the sports, you know. And this big thing, what is so different to me, I'm 63 years old, okay? No makeup on, so I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just letting you know my brother's age. It's 2020. Back in the 60s, you know, things were different. What is different to me, one of the biggest differences right now is Bubba Wallace, the race car driver, the black race car driver. You know, NASCAR driver, elite driver. When he has been the only black man in a sport predominantly white, he's upset and frustrated with seeing all the Confederate flags flying around and what it stood for. He goes to the head of NASCAR, tells him how he feels. What did NASCAR do? They banned Confederate flags in the arena or in the events. That is a huge move, especially NASCAR. You're talking about basically down in the South. And then what happened was, you know, there was a noose that popped up in his garage, you know, and next thing you know, Talladega, down there at the racetrack, you see him pushing his car and his competitors and his teammates. The amount of people that were supporting him at that point was just, it was moving. It touched my heart, especially when, you know, Richard Petty, you know, the owner, the legendary race car, NASCAR driver, the owner of the racing team, here he is 87 years old. And he was really concerned about ever coming outside with the COVID-19 going on. But he said, I am coming out today or tomorrow, the next day, because I want to hug my driver. And when you saw it on TV, Bubba Wallace was crying. Everybody was crying. It was really emotional, and it was a big step considering the arena that they're in. You're talking about NASCAR. I mean, you got two flags flying. You got an American flag, you got a Confederate flag flying. So to me, that's a big change. You know, I'm an older guy, and anyway, I'm going to get off of that, but I'm proud of these young people. I'm really proud of these athletes and entertainers that are stepping up. They're just not going to take it anymore. They're just not going to take it anymore. And, you know, I'm proud of them, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, Jerry, I want to thank you so much for the time. And please, if you will, tell people again your podcast name, where they can find you out on social media, and where they can keep up with you.
Podcast is People Doing Good Podcast. Instagram is Jerry Robinson 5657. I mean, that's on the back of, you know,
yeah, it was right here. Eagles and the Raiders.
Eagles and the Raiders, yeah. And you can find me on Facebook, too. But like I said, go to the podcast because, you know, we've had some athletes. We had Ronnie Lott on there. We had Guy Fieri on there. We've had several different people on there. And we're going to, you know, with your help, Heidi, I'll probably be able to get some other people to come onto the show. But listen, you guys, go check it out. Just subscribe to it. It's free, y'all. It don't cost you nothing. It helps me out. It helps us out. And our sponsorships for our show, for People Doing Good, you know, 10% of that, the sponsorship we give, it goes to help Shoes for Kids.
There's nothing more that I love than a candid guest here. Man, what a guest Jerry Robinson was. After the interview, he also asked that I mention to fans to check out episode number 45 of his podcast, People Doing Good. So get on that. And as promised, I was able to catch up with former Raiders wide receiver Tim Brown. I spoke with him on a conference call ahead of the American Century Championship Golf Tournament taking place July 8th in Lake Tahoe. So here he is with his take on the Raiders' move to Las Vegas and what he thinks that would have meant to Al Davis.
I think he would be, you know, smiling from ear to ear right now, being at the table with the team is in Vegas. So, you know, I think. You know, we look back, you know, I got to the L.A. Raiders in 88. We moved to Oakland in 95. And when we got there, they talked about building a stadium. And Al and the city got into it. No surprise there, I guess. But, you know, and 22 years later, you know, finally the team finds a situation and not in Oakland to make their home. And, you know, so... I bring that up to say only that, you know, the city had 22 years to make Oakland a permanent home, make the Raiders a permanent home in Oakland. They decided not to for whatever reason. So, and, you know, but now it's time for us to move forward and to embrace this situation with Vegas. I know the city has embraced the Raiders, but now it's time for the Raider fans to embrace it, and let's move on, man, and go make some great things happen.
That'll do it for us from here on the Vegas Nation podcast. Don't forget, we have new episodes now every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This one, takeaways every Wednesday. Make sure to hit subscribe wherever you're listening. Leave us a review if you'd like to on Apple Podcasts. Rate the show. We love hearing from you guys. You can also keep up with all of our coverage, everything we're putting out on VegasNation.com and on the Vegas Nation app. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next week.